The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in salvation? This is part number 5. We've dealt with this before in four more parts. And it's a general question, yet there's a lot of material in that question. We said that the Holy Spirit in His work in salvation moves on us in our darkness and positions us to receive light, positions us to for the work of reproval, and then He works reproval. And then we also, if we dealt with the reproval, what is reproval, what He does in that, we come to the part where we realize that He empowers the gospel. Because unless He empowers the gospel, makes it sharp, reaches down in our heart, man can never be saved. Now we'll go a step further on this part number 5. The Holy Spirit, what does He do in our salvation? He grants repentance and faith. Now, you can't separate repentance from faith or vice versa. Paul preached both in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 20 and 21. He said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, see, we also have the same message in Acts 16, even though repentance is not mentioned. You realize the book of Acts is a history book, and any time you go to the book of Acts to establish your doctrine, you're in error. You go to the epistles, establish your doctrine, and then you go to the book of Acts, you'll have no problem with your doctrine. It's repentance and faith together. You can't have one without the other. In Acts 16, 30 and through 32, when the Philippian jailer come in and said, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And many people want to say, well, all you got to do is believe. See there, Paul didn't mention repentance. But remember, Acts 20, he said he preached repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, here when he said this, it's just history. And still, the man was already exercising a certain amount of repentance in his life when he cried out. But still, they in verse number 32 of Acts 16, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that was in his house. In other words, they spake the word of the Lord. They preached to him. It's what it amounts to, so that the Holy Ghost could empower the gospel. But there had to be the work of godly sorrow, Holy Ghost conviction, reproval, that worked to the place that the Holy Spirit could grant repentance and faith. Now, you notice Paul spake the word, which allowed the Spirit of God to work reproval, whereby repentance and faith could be granted. Now, repentance means a change of mind, change of attitude, change of heart, change of direction. It involves both a turning from sin and a turning to God. One says it means a turning, coming to the end of yourself, going the opposite direction, a turning around, taking up sides with God against yourself. And how has it worked? A godly sorrow works that. And, of course, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing that in your life. 2 Corinthians 7:10 said, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." This makes repentance a work of God, not of man. God must grant repentance for one to be saved. In fact, John said this in John 3:37, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." In Acts 11:18, it says, "And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." And that was whenever Peter went back to Jerusalem and met with the church. And when after Cornelius was saved, which was a Gentile, and after he told what had happened, they said, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Now, God's goodness leads you to repentance. Romans 2:4 said, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" And you go back and study the psalmist, even in Old Testament time, and just like today, many people misunderstand the goodness of God. But the psalmist misunderstood the goodness of God at first. And in Psalm 73, verse number 2 and 3, the psalmist said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." In other words, he said, I was about ready to take out on God and quit. Verse number 12 and 14 says this in Psalms 73, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And then in verse 16 and 17 of Psalm 73, when I thought to know this, it was too painful to me. In other words, he said, I just can't stand how this can happen. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. You see, he failed to understand God's goodness because God's good even to the lost people. He allows them to prosper. He allows them seemingly to get by with some things, knowing that the only chance they'll ever have is on this life. So he gives them an open door before them, a striving spirit working in their life, giving them a space of repentance, leading them to that. And yet men despise that and spurn the day of grace and push off God's repentance. But God's goodness leads to repentance. Now, the Lord desires all to repent. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's necessary to be saved. Repentance is what we're talking about, and because God grants that through the Holy Spirit in the work of salvation. Luke 13, 3 says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the Great Commission was given to the New Testament church to preach repentance. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 47, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So he grants repentance and he grants faith. And you realize something, faith is something that has to be defined here as we think about this. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by the way, it's not your faith, it's the Lord's faith. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And whenever he grants it, or grants repentance and faith, the Holy Spirit, it's a gift. And faith is a gift also. As I said, John 3:27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And Ephesians 2:8, when speaking about faith, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. He's talking about faith is a gift of God. Sure, salvation is a gift of God, but faith is a gift of God. And how does faith come? By hearing. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word for word there is the word utterance. It means the utterance of God, Sarema, which and whether it be preaching or testifying or God working in our circumstances is the way He builds faith in us and that we might have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and of course it comes from the Lord, and therefore it's the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation of man. God grants repentance and faith. The Holy Spirit does that. He's the third part of God who does that. Grants a whole faith and repentance, and both of them have to be in salvation. Then also we find the Holy Spirit. What part does He play in the salvation? In our salvation, He calls us. Revelations 22:17 said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Romans chapter 8 verse 30 said, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And the predestination has nothing to do with a lost man. We've told you that before. It's that those who are saved are predestinated to be adopted, placed as an adopted son, and to be the Lord's inheritance, and to will be conformed to His image. Three things about that. But He said those He foreknew, He predestinated, and those He predestinated, He called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That's eternal security. But all He calls with this call, and this call is not a general call, because many are called, few are chosen, but few receive the effectual call. This is the effectual call. That's the call capable of producing the desired results. And the Lord will never call you. The Holy Spirit will never call you until a work has been completed in your heart. In other words, the work of reproval, Holy Ghost conviction complete in all three areas of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and repentance and faith been granted unto you, then He'll call. And then the Holy Spirit enables you to obey the gospel. 1 Peter 1:2, he said, elect. He's writing to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's talking about the sanctifying work of the Spirit bringing us to an act of obedience, for which is to repent and believe. This is man's part. But we could not even do that if it were not for the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes and works and grants us repentance and faith, and then we can act upon that and obey the gospel and repent and believe unto salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 said, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There must be that sanctifying work of the Spirit, which is the work of Holy Ghost conviction in salvation, the work of reproval, the work of godly sorrow, all that together, and bringing you to a place that you're enabled to obey the gospel by repenting and believing. In other words, belief of the truth emphasizes the human response of faith to the truth of the gospel. If a person does not obey the gospel, the outcome is hell. In other words, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, he said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, there's two classes of people there in that verses of Scripture we've talked about. In other words, that will be punished with everlasting punishment. And that's those who know not God. That's those in other fields where they've never heard the gospel. They've never heard even the name Jesus. You said, but preacher, it's not right for them to die and go to hell. You realize something, they have light of creation. And the Holy Spirit will use that, and if they will obey the light, God will send a human instrument across their path to preach the word, and the Holy Ghost to sharpen it to it, that word. He'll work repentance in them. He'll work faith in them, all because of completed work of Holy Ghost conviction, and will enable them to obey the gospel. So those on foreign soil who've reached the knowledge of accountability have never heard the gospel, they too. They know not God, but they may know about God's little g, but they don't know the Lord God, the Lord Jesus himself, because they've never obeyed light, and therefore they go to hell for rejecting light. And then the other group is those that obey not the gospel. They've heard, but they never were yielded, never were broken, never were brought to the end of themselves. They kicked against the pricks. They turned and walked no more with the Lord Jesus Christ and died and went to hell. So it takes the Holy Spirit to enable us to obey the gospel. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.